Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Tyler Hunt and Matt Bell's here. If you can hear some dejection in your voice, in our voice, obviously you know why, because the Badgers just went to Champaign and did not off the bus. So we want to get on and do just an instant reaction pod. We have no questions written down. We have nothing on the docket except to just fire away and see what happens here. So I'm sure you guys will enjoy some of our misery. Matt, I know how you are, but as I always ask, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. That was one of the worst games I've seen this year out of the Badgers. Last year I had the opportunity to skip watching the Michigan game, the BYU game, and the Minnesota game, all because of weddings. So that was kind of helpful in terms of my general health. But this one was tough to watch. How are you holding up?
I gotta be honest, I'm pretty dejected. Normally Wisconsin losses they suck. They suck every time, but this one just, and it's one of those ones where you don't even, like, you're just upset that how poorly, it's not even like they got outplayed. If they just got outplayed and flatly got beat, like what might happen next weekend, then fine. But just the way they played and lost, I think just adds to it. And then the fact that it's Illinois and you go, and then they play a jump around at the end of the game. I mean, just a tough one to swallow. 8 points. So not great. We'll see what happens as we continue down this stretch, but obviously a pretty disappointing one. And honestly, you could start at any certain place you want to start on this one, because there's a whole host of topics that you could get into with how poorly this game sort of went. So we want to start with the offense and the play calling.
Yeah, I'm cool with there. What was your take on the play calling?
I just thought, I was expecting to come into the game and really probably not show a lot because going off of that, I also thought they would have this, well in hand to where you wouldn't need to bust out some other stuff. And obviously, they needed to turn to some new stuff and some different stuff and open it up a little bit. I was disappointed with the conservativeness, because we've seen Paul Chris sometimes this season get aggressive. But at the same time, it's not like anybody on the offense was showing a lot of promise to where you thought you could turn to it. And so, I know people are upset that it was conservative, but at the same time, there wasn't a lot of positives that saw a clear answer from my perspective. I mean, everybody was kind of, struggling to execute. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, the offense, there was times I thought Jack Cohn, other than that last, few minutes, had looked pretty sharp. He still completed 75% of his passes, was able to distribute the ball well. Outside of a couple throws, was kind of on the money. I just thought that the offensive line just looked really bad. I know that they were mixing in some different combinations in there due to Erdman being injured. But, man, oh, man, they weren't able to get a push. They weren't able to run against, I think they were the 106th, 107th ranked defense in the nation in terms of run defense. I mean, that's not acceptable if you're Wisconsin. Wisconsin butters their bread by running the ball, and they weren't able to do it today to the effect that they normally can. They only ran for 156 yards, which they were still able to outrun Illinois, but at the same time, that wasn't enough. You know, Jonathan Taylor had to carry the ball 28 times, and obviously that fumble was huge. But I thought on the offensive side, it was the offensive line in my eyes that really let down the Badgers and really let down the team in my eyes as well.
Yeah, I mean they were getting manhandled, you know, and I've never seen, you know, an offensive line get beat so badly by a defensive line that wasn't doing anything coming into this game. I mean, like you said, 106th against the run. They've been gashed by Eastern Michigan and teams like that on the ground, where if you're Wisconsin, you have to be able to run the ball against them. And you got to give them some credit too. Obviously, they played really well in their front seven. But, man, you just can't, you know, you can't. I think at one point it was like 3.7 yards a carry. That by Wisconsin standards is downright horrible. So it's pretty disappointing. And, you know, I thought they were going to have to throw the ball, and they started to. And then, of course, the interception and the fumble, they were both – the turnovers really hurt them because despite, you know, playing against a team that was, you know, not anywhere close to you in terms of talent, you know, if you take care of the football, you probably still win that game and get out of there and escape with the win. And it just it didn't happen today. There was nothing to really, I mean, more than that, just got outclassed and beat themselves in a lot of ways. So defensively really wasn't much better. We'll talk about that here. Really, the defense across the board really kind of struggled. There were some big holes in their run game. Reggie Corbin had a lot of room to run. The pass defense was not what it's been the last few weeks. Matt, what did you think of that side of the football today?
I thought the missed tackles were just – they were everywhere. Everywhere you looked, it was – guys missing tackles that they should have. You saw Illinois wrapping up and making those tackles, and Wisconsin, even from the jump, wasn't able to do that. I think going forward, they're going to be really in rough shape against an Ohio State team who's got more speed, got more agility in terms of their quickness, that if they run a similar type offense where you're going to do some zone read, you're going to do some play action off of it and have wide receivers going deep, something Wisconsin struggled with today is covering the deep ball as well as just making the tackles when they had to. There was too many times where Reggie Corbin or Brown was able to kind of just squirt for a big gain and make one guy miss, and then all of a sudden it was three guys missed, and then it was somebody's trying to strip the ball instead of trying to make the tackle, and it ended up in a 30-yard gain instead of a 5-yard gain, for example.
Yeah, there were so many times where it just was a simple just wrap up. And, you know, I don't want to be the guy who says it's easy, just do this, do that, because it is harder than what it looks on the TV and from our perspective on the couch. But, man, there was just so many times where they just wrapped up. And you haven't seen an undisciplined Wisconsin team like this at any point this season. They've played with such, discipline in that side of the football. Normally, you know, these last few weeks where I was just surprised by it and how many times it was just bouncing off, you know, guys or going for a weak arm tackle and you know, Corbin and guys like that. Even Brandon Peters ran through a couple. So, you know, like you said, you know, they're going to really have to, you know, pay attention to that this week if you want to even have a chance going to Columbus, because J.K. Dobbins and Justin Fields are not going to be any easier to tackle next Saturday. So if you want to fix that and get it corrected and get this thing, you know, back on track, it's going to start with cleaning a lot of that up. And so that kind of points to the next thing that I was going to bring up. Do you think this was more of them looking ahead to Ohio State, or was it just they got completely outplayed?
I think it's a combination. I think it always is. You know, I think it was obvious that the Badgers came out flat. They were looking ahead in terms of this game. But at the same time, Illinois came out fighting, and Wisconsin got punched, and they didn't punch back. That's what I noticed. You know, it was, you see that. You can kind of feel the ebb and flow, and the Badgers would make a play. You know, they get the fumble, score a touchdown from the Illinois 15, and then they slowly unravel again. So it was one of those games where it just the writing seemed like it was on the wall, where every time you turned, it was like, what are they doing? You know, in terms of guys missing those tackles, turning the ball over, just not making great calls in terms of situation based, you know, with a couple runs on the goal line, not being able to punch it in there. Like I said, the offensive line really struggled, missing field goals. I know we had talked about earlier this year that that was probably going to come back and bite them. They make that field goal, they win the game. It's plain and simple based off of the time that was up there. So the Badgers had just across the board just laid an egg, and this is what you get for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's college football. We saw it last week with Georgia. We saw it this week with Wisconsin, and we'll see it again as this thing go forward. But, you know, if you want to be in that playoff discussion and that Big Ten title run, you got to, you know, avoid those games as much as you can. And you can have one, but you know, that's hard-pressed when you've got a team like Ohio State next week. But, man, it's just disappointing. You know, I'd rather have just been, you know, beaten by the other team. I hate when, you know, when you lose and beat yourselves in a way. But like you said, you're absolutely right with the way that Illinois was, you know, they got, it was a fight back and forth. And when they got hit, they bounced back. And the Badgers, when they got hit, they didn't. And yeah, I think it's part of that they haven't been really hit in the mouth yet this season. I mean, would you say that? I mean, the Badgers haven't trailed until the last seconds of this in that game, which was a sad underlying story that the first time they trail is the field goal to beat them. But wouldn't you say it's just more of you know, that the Badgers, maybe they haven't been tested like this and they weren't used to that feeling in a way?
Yeah, I think so. And there was times when I thought that the offense kind of shelled up a little bit. There was multiple times where it was, you know, third and three, third and five, somewhere in that range. And, you know, Jack Cohn had been delivering all game long, you know, obviously that one pick notwithstanding. But every time he had kind of delivered on third down, and there was times when it was like third and seven and they ran the ball with Jonathan Taylor and got 2 yards. And it was just a head scratcher, you know, trot out Lottie and punt. And it was like that. It just didn't make any sense in terms of the flow of the game and how the Badgers had been doing in terms of throwing the ball. So I would think that that's something that the offensive staff will kick themselves for too in the coaching room. But I think it really comes down to the offensive line and then the missed tackles, that they were just inexcusable and something that fans hadn't seen until this game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I think everybody, I mean, Twitter was a dumpster fire after the game, and rightfully so. But I mean, yeah, they just, you know, nobody's used to seeing that because this team has played so dominating over the first 6-7 weeks, and it wasn't there today. And you can chalk it up to a whole host of things, but at the end of the day, they got beat, and they got beat by a team that they shouldn't have got beat by. And unfortunately, that happens in college football, but it really, really sucks when it's your team. You love to see those upsets when it's somebody else, and you root for the underdog. But when you're on the other side of it, man, it stings. So how bad does this one hurt for you in terms of losses? Because we've had some bad ones, but this one, I'm not sure why, but it's taken me a while to process it for sure.
Yeah, I had a friend text me and ask if this was a worse loss than BYU, and we kind of were riffing back and forth about it. And I think it is, just simply because of how the team had jumped out this year. Last season, you know, they had kind of eked by before they got to BYU. It wasn't like they had looked dominant. You know, they had gone into the season ranked fourth or whatever and picked to make it in the playoff and everything. But this season, they had actually shown it that they could do it. And, you know, people had started to buy into them after kind of a rough season last year. And then to kind of rip out the hearts of those people who had just kind of jumped back in, you know, it's tough, especially when you see a stat line like Brandon Peters completing 9 passes and was under 50% throwing and you lose to that. That's pretty rough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not great, and it's upsetting for sure. And I know everybody who's going to be listening to this is going to be listening for us to be upset. And obviously, I don't blame you. It's a tough thing to try and process. But at the end of the day, you've also got to give some credit to Illinois. They played, you know, They did enough to win a football game, which is something you can't say for Wisconsin. So we'll have to see how this team bounces back. But I mean, going forward, obviously, you know, it looks right now to everyone that the sky is falling, and it is in a way, because that's a pretty bad loss, and that's gonna be a tough one to get back, even if you dominate down the stretch. But how does this team right the ship and get refocused so you don't go into next week and really get hit in the mouth once again with Ohio State?
I think it comes back to the offense. I think a lot of people will blame the defense, but at the same time, the Badger defense, outside of those missed tackles, wasn't nearly as bad as the offense in my eyes, especially that from basically midway through the third quarter on, their last drives that they had the ball, they had a missed field goal after a six-minute drive when they were up 20-7. They then had a field goal on another six-minute drive, and that was basically from the one-yard line that they weren't able to punch it in. Then they had the fumble, then they threw an interception. Each one of those drives, outside of the fumble, which was just like a minute-long drive, the interception came on a three-minute drive. So they were moving the ball on each of those drives, and they just took the proverbial gun out and just shot themselves in the foot. They just couldn't convert. So I think the offense has to clean things up, and especially on the offensive line, because that's where I place a lot of the blame on the coaching staff in terms of being able to feel the ebb and flow of the game and making some of the different calls, but also on the offensive line for not holding up there on the bargain, especially when Illinois' best defensive lineman goes out with an injury. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I almost forgot that he wasn't even in there. I forgot that he had gotten injured early in the second quarter and didn't really come back and have an impact. So, it's just been the offensive line was disappointing. And I think if they want to right the ship, obviously you get a chance where if you go into Columbus and win, all of a sudden, yeah, it's back on track and you can make some stuff happen. But it's definitely going to come back to the offense. I think the offense this week looked a lot like the offense we saw at times last year, which is something I think everybody wanted to get away from. The conservative, the dink and dunk, the, you know, just not aggressive tone of the football game when you needed it. And settling eventually is going to get you beat. And I think it looked a lot like 2018's team versus what we saw in 2019. So definitely disappointing, and obviously everybody's dejected, and these losses suck. But I think they've still got, obviously they still got a chance in front of them. But from where you're at right now, what do you think? Does your outlook on where this team can eventually get to change after that loss, or do you still think they can get to Indy and you know, compete for a Big Ten championship, or are you kind of taking a step back and going, maybe we were, you know, all out to a little ahead of our skis coming into this one?
You know, I always thought that Ohio State was going to be really tough. I didn't predict them to win that game or win the Big Ten in general. So I still think they can get to Indy, but it just got a lot more difficult because it makes you kind of look at that Minnesota game and the Iowa game and think, oh, okay, those are going to be different games now than they might have been a few weeks ago or even last week. So I'm interested to see kind of how they rebound. I think, you know, obviously coming out to having to play Ohio State isn't going to be the easiest way to kind of cut your teeth back into it, but we'll see what the coaching staff puts together and what the offense looks like next week.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, obviously, I was going to say if they had squeaked that one out, maybe that's the best thing for them, you know, before going to Columbus, is that they won, but they didn't look good doing it. And then that way you can really refocus for a good week of practice this week. But obviously, when you lose, it certainly changes that feeling. But a lot of teams bounce back from bad losses. So you got to hope that they can do that. But obviously, like you said, Ohio State is a tough task. To try and get this thing rolling once again. But we'll have to see, and it's going to take a big effort from them, and because we saw what Ohio State can do in their dominating win over Northwestern last night. And you know, Wisconsin always seems to have one of these games that really rips your heart out, and unfortunately that was this week. But overall, I mean, I think this Big Ten West race just got really muddled when you think about it, because you've got Minnesota, who's going to be be the leader in the clubhouse after this week, and then you've got Iowa, who gets brought into the back into the picture. You've got a team like North or Nebraska that all of a sudden can get brought back into this picture. So I think wouldn't you agree that this thing kind of just opens up in a big way, at least in the Western side?
Yeah, and it makes those games that they have still remaining way more interesting against Big Ten West teams. You know, Minnesota, I think a lot of people had kind of thought, okay, Wisconsin, you know, they'll come in, both teams will be vying for the potentially going to Indy, but I don't think a lot of people thought that this team might have lost to Illinois to set it up that the Badgers need that win necessarily to have the shot to go to Indy. And that's the way it looks right now on paper. You know, a lot can change. We haven't played the Ohio State game. You know, if you had to simulate it, I think, you know, an NCAA, Ohio State's going to win that one after that dejected egg that they just threw out there. But like I said, stranger things happen in college football, and Ohio State has had their eggs that they've laid in last couple seasons. So you never know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's exactly right. You never know. You never expect to go to Champaign and get beat, but it just happened. And there's going to be other teams. You never expected Georgia to get beat at home to a dejected and third string quarterback with South Carolina, but it happens. And that's what makes the sport so much fun as a fan perspective. But it really sucks, of course, when it happens to your team. And it's only one loss. And yes, the sky will come up tomorrow. Or the sun will come up tomorrow, but it's certainly a dejecting feeling and a tough one to swallow as this team tries to bounce back. But at the same time, we've seen a dominating football team in 7 of the 8 weeks. So who knows? Maybe that dominating team comes back when they go to Columbus. And I think that's if you want to bounce back and right the ship, you got your shot. Not saying they will, but at least you've got some games in front of you with Ohio State, with Iowa, with Minnesota to try and get back. And, we'll see what happens. But it certainly makes everything a lot closer and tighter than it needed to be. So we'll see. But, guys, that's really all I had in terms of, we didn't write down any questions. We just said we're going to hop on and talk about the game for a little bit and work, talk some stuff out, give you guys maybe a little therapy session as to as to how to survive. And I think it was maybe even better for us, because I was pretty dejected after that one, because it's just, you're never expecting it and it sucks. But Matt, anything else you got, or else we'll wrap it up here and we'll be back with you guys later next week. So
obviously a loss like that, it's hard to look at positives, but do you have any players that you actually thought looked good or that there was positives to it in terms of the future for this team going on this year?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Cone still looked pretty good, like you said, at least early in that, early in the game, he still was hitting passes. Obviously the interception was bad, and I think everybody – I think Jack would say that, yeah, that's a ball he can't throw and a mistake he can't make. But I really didn't think, you look at his stat line and his completion percentage and all that, it still looks pretty good. But they made the mistakes when they just couldn't afford to. So I thought he still looked pretty good defensively. Chris Orr continues to play out of his mind. I mean, he doesn't get enough credit, I don't think, with all the attention that Zach Bond's getting. Chris Orr's been really good. So I would say those two. What about you?
Yeah, I would also add in Jake Ferguson. I thought he played really well, and I think he's starting to heal from that thumb injury that he sustained in fall camp, and we're starting to see him be more physical. He had that pancake block that sprung Jonathan Taylor on a longer gain, as well as he made some really nice catches that were not easy to make. I thought Danny Davis also was good back returning punts. He averaged 16.5, which is nothing to turn your nose at after we have seen some real struggles there. And then Anthony Lottie actually punted the ball well. He only punted twice, which is just indicative of just how many times the Badgers shot themselves in the foot. But he played his part this game, and that's a positive going forward, I would have to think.
Yeah, for sure. He did punt well. He had both of them were pretty long booms that way. And then when you can flip the field with your punter is obviously always helpful. And I would agree. Yeah, I forgot about Davis. He was good back there. And I like that two punt return set, you know, with Dunn and Davis back there to try and change things up and get some production out of that position. But other than those few guys, not a lot of people showed up. And you need a lot of players to step up. And unfortunately, the Badgers just didn't have that this week. And it's back to the drawing board to try and get back to where they were 2 weeks ago. So we'll see what happens. But that's all I've really got. I've cleared my chest. I've talked about it. I don't know. Anything else from you, Matt?
No, we'll throw another podcast out later this week, previewing that Ohio State game, kind of, you know, maybe diving into some more meat of recapping this game as well. But don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, check us out this week. I'm sure there's going to be a whole host of different material coming out covering this game as well as the Ohio State game, Bucky's fifth quarter. That's all I got.
Yeah, I'm excited for Drew's Big Ten roast this week and seeing what we can come up with for, obviously. Usually it's funny when it's the other Big Ten opponents on the docket, but when it's your own team, it hurts even more. But, guys, I promise the sun will come up. Sun will come up tomorrow and everything will be all right. And, you know, I know it hurts right now. I know it sucks right now, but well, they'll get their shot at Ohio State, and you know, maybe they make things happen. So you gotta try and stay positive. But yeah, we'll get our stuff out later in the week, and we'll preview that Ohio State game. Obviously, it's still a big game. If they can pull off that upset, and you know, we'll see what happens, and it's all you can do. That's the sport. So other than that, go Packers tomorrow. Hopefully, they can bring us some joy, and on Wisconsin.